bottom line.
Welcome to the show. Very excited to dive into a topic that, look, it's going to ruffle your feathers. I will tell you that much. But it's a conversation that we need to have. And we have been having it on this show. And we're going to continue to have it. Because always, my grandfather used to say, y'all could go to the horse's mouth. You know, did you hear it from the man himself? Were you the first one to hear it, the first one to see it? And especially in a fight against human trafficking, you know, it's so important to have your facts straight and what did and didn't happen. So today I'm very excited to speak to an amazing young woman and her grandmother, which doesn't look old enough to be a grandmother, Betsy. You don't look old enough to be a grandma. You're a pioneer. You're an entrepreneur. You do amazing things. I know some of the other things you do in the world of reforming broken processes in the country. Yeah. And one of them being banking, which is not the show. We need to have you back for that show with my brother from another mother, Nick. But this show is about a broken process. We're talking about education. And yes. We're talking about the school system and the attack on youth. Mm-hmm. On youth within the school system, institutionalized coercion, institutionalized desensitization, and then honestly weaponizing children for the sake of what I believe a completely different political motive, alter agenda, and so on. So Avery, this is where you come into the picture. Mm. How old are you at the moment?
I'm 17. I turn 18 just about a month on April 9th.
You know, that's only girls do that. Right?
Yeah, but I...
You know, boys don't do that. Really? Boys don't... How old are you? I'm 14. Boys don't go, I'm 14, but I'll be 15 in 2 months.
My little siblings do that, and they're boys, so...
It'll stop. It'll stop when they're older. Okay, so 17 going on 18. You were born in California?
Yeah.
All right. Born in Cali. Betsy, Avery is your daughter's child. Mm-hmm. Went to, you know, homeschool. For how long were you homeschooled?
For the first 10 years of my life. And that is why I did mention that I was almost 18, because, you know, from 14 to 15 to 16 to 17, I was in such different places. You know, so much can change in a year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was homeschooled up until about fifth grade.
Okay.
So I was around
10, 11. Yeah, 10, 11. Critical age, by the way, now in school, 10, 11.
But I did go into a private Christian school.
In California?
In California, yes.
What was that private Christian small school?
Small, very small, like 100 kids in the whole school.
Okay.
So,
and the grades, what were the grades? Six through?
It was kindergarten to 12.
Okay.
So it was a very small school. I remember being in that school and from like fifth to sixth, kind of, I was like, oh, this is great. But then I was like, when I saw the high schoolers, I was like, or actually it went up right till ninth, and then they would get sent into public school. And so that was I was like, how are they going to be ready to go to public school? Because I feel like it was a very, very sheltered environment. And I think that Christian schools are great things, and you know, and being in a walk with God and school is like amazing. But they didn't talk about anything that was happening outside. You know, you weren't even allowed to be in a relationship with anyone, which you don't need to date as a kid, but making it this like, you know, oh, you can't do that, it just like puts a stigma on it. And so I think that was kind of
some of the city problem. Was this in California?
It was like Goleta.
Okay.
Around Goleta.
Okay. Small town.
Very small town, yeah.
Small town, small school. And then at home and homeschool, was your mom?
It was my mom, yeah.
Mom was homeschooling. We homeschool, you know, we homeschool.
Yeah,
I was not homeschooled. I was raised in a world that to Americans today is a movie about a far, far planet, because I was raised in a very, very different, I mean, it's like, my life is a Star Wars movie because I come from a different planet, planet Africa. And so completely different world. But in that period, Betsy, though, what was Avery's personality like? How, I mean, engagement, that kind of stuff, that, you know, and moving from homeschool to the pub, in a private Christian school before we end up at public school? Mm-hmm. What is? Give me a picture of Avery as a granddaughter.
Well, she was always totally outgoing, really vivacious, hilarious. She was opinionated and was very comfortable sharing her thoughts, very outgoing. And then I saw that same propensity when she was in the Christian school. But I think
I did struggle with
friendships.
Friendships.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what to blame it on. I think it was somewhat myself, just because people with ADHD, which there's a whole stigma with that now because of social media. But it is real and it's diagnosed. And, you know, it's a thing. My younger brother has it. He struggles with making friends. So I think it was that, but also the fact that I wasn't around as many kids and I wasn't learning all those social rules that you were supposed to be like and how you're supposed to act around people, that affected me. And it just really just, the insecurity just like, it was just fed for so many years. And then I got to high school and then it just like.
So you go to, so we go from private Christian school.
Mm-hmm. In California.
To public high school in California. So it is
In Texas.
In Texas.
Yeah.
So you go from Cali to Texas into public high school. Now, mm-hmm. Texas public high schools are normally pretty large. In California, too. I mean, the public high schools.
Yeah, the one I would have gone to was pretty big as well.
Okay. So the school in Texas, you go to a large school then?
Yeah, it was most of the schools here are 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th. So I went to a 9th and 10th school.
Okay. All right.
Originally.
But a lot of kids.
It was going, big. Well, you felt big.
Well,
compared
to 100 kids in a whole school in a private Christian school, you go to...
I mean, you have one class.
Yeah.
Like, and in a public school, you know, you have different teacher for each subject.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Okay. So what is that world like for you when you're dropped into that world at that time? And what year is this? For perspective.
It was COVID.
So 2020.
I started in COVID.
Okay. So I talk about this all the time. I mean, we won't know for decades, Betsy. We won't know for decades in this country
what
that year did to humanity.
Yeah. It like an alien
their
world.
Whole world. That's why they had to move. I mean,
mostly, yeah.
Okay, so you guys have an exodus out of California to Texas, like many Californians. You end up in public school here.
And my parents were divorcing at the same time. Because we had bought a house in California, but COVID hit, they got divorced. They moved to Texas and got two separate houses.
Both parents moved to Texas.
Yes, together. They're divorced, but they work together. You know, it's not okay. It's not toxic.
You're the oldest sibling?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how many other siblings?
I have three younger siblings. I have a younger brother, younger sister, and then another younger brother.
Okay. So here we go. Hello, high school. You know, 9th grade. Texas public school in the middle of COVID. But in the middle of COVID, we were slow to shut down here.
Yeah.
Were you shut down ever?
Immediately.
Or no?
It was half online, half in person. But it was like, you know, social distancing, masks.
Okay. So talk to me about what happens to you. Because now you kind of quasi back into a homeschool environment. Because you're home because everybody was home. But you're also, half of it was public. And we had a whole, you know, mask war.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens that year?
So
to the topic that I want the listener to understand. Mm-hmm. We are moving towards the grooming of children, mm-hmm. and the impact of the LGBTQ AI plus now, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, impact on children in school and curriculum. So we're moving towards that direction.
Yes. So for me personally, it's actually very strange. And I think it had to do with just how crazy everything was. I don't have a lot of memories from 9th grade specifically. I remember just sitting in the cafeteria alone because everyone had to sit at a separate desk. Like, it wasn't a cafeteria. It was just desk. Like, everyone was separated. And so I just remember
6 feet separation, which is now by Mr. Fauci himself, said, well, we kind of made that up. There's no science behind that.
Yeah, they were just having fun, guys. playing with us, pretty much seeing how much we would listen, you know.
So what happens at school here? What is the impact?
The impact in ninth grade is a lot different than it was in 10th grade. I met a couple people. The only people that I was able to even like talk to were ones who were kind of like, they seemed gay. They seemed a little bit like they were doing like with all that, like super dyed hair. That's another thing. Appearance was just a really big impact on me. I had really short hair. So I kind of like fell into that group because I couldn't find anyone to talk to. And it was just such a big school and I felt like everyone already knew each other. And I wasn't good at making friends. So
you gravitated towards a particular group, which you would consider what? What is the group?
Like the weird kids. The LGBT kids. There's a whole group for it now. It's a whole thing, totally.
Okay.
So.
And she explained how they were very accepting, and you're looking for community, and so, you know, they were just like, oh, you're one of us.
Yeah, and that really segues into something that I think is really important is the way I was introduced to the LGBT was just, it's an agenda. They're trying to make you gay. It's bad. But when you go into society, you're going to meet a lot of people who are, they're already the victims of the indoctrination. And they're just normal people. They're not necessarily bad people, but they don't know. And so I met them and I was like, oh, they're not bad. This isn't bad. Maybe my parents were wrong or they just don't understand. But the truth is these kids were just being affected by something. And that's the most dangerous part because they've created an agenda that they don't even have to work as hard at spreading anymore because the kids are just going to spread it to themselves. They're just going to spread it with themselves. And so I didn't understand that the kids were also the victims. And then I became a victim myself. And I started to become very confused with my own identity. And when you hang around people
Let's talk about that process. The process of in your I want to dive into that a little bit.
Okay.
Talk to me about thoughts and feelings. Okay, because I feel like a lot of the movement in that what people would brand as woke culture or whatever is emotional and feelings driven.
Yes.
So what is happening at that time in your what I call self-talk, your inner speech, your thoughts and feelings? Take us through your mind. What is happening with you in ninth and 10th grade in that introduction, the acceptance into the LGBT community, you're one of us. What changes in your mind at that time?
So I think that I just was like looking for a way to classify myself. I don't have just like the hugest amount of memories, but I know that I was just like looking for something, like looking for somebody to be. And I was like, oh, I like this hair, so maybe I'm like this. And I like to dress like this, so maybe I'm like that. And it was just like really hard because I just couldn't find any confidence in myself. And I think that's where the transgender stuff gets a lot of people, because they're like, I don't like my body, I don't like this, so maybe if I transition I'll like myself. And it's never the answer, really.
At that time, are you being coached by anybody? Are people like training you? Do you feel like you're being coached or not? Is it all just self-awareness, observation?
Yeah, I don't think there was anyone who was like in person who was specifically doing that, but there was a lot of stuff online. I was not allowed on social media until I was a little older, but I think YouTube. I was on YouTube, and YouTube had like a really big effect
during COVID.
Yeah, she of had course.
Hours of YouTube.
Well, every kid was locked to a cell phone, and human trafficking went through the roof, and it was the perfect storm for pushing propaganda and agenda and whatever. Okay, so on YouTube, are you at this point starting to engage in content?
Yes.
And chat rooms and comments within the LGBT community.
So there was.
So what happens there? And by the way, I just want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
before you go to this particular school in Texas.
Yeah.
Even at the Christian school, private school, and then before at home, in homeschooling, at any point before you go to this Christian school, did you ever question whether you were a boy or a girl?
Mm-mm. I learned about, I thought about bisexuality for the first time when I was like 14.
Okay.
Like I remember because it was.
And that was during COVID.
You were out of
the private school. She was home on YouTube. And that's when it started.
All right. So now take me through some of the engagements. And I really want to dive, because I think what's very important, Avery, is for people to hear psychologically what is happening in the process. Because at some point, things go in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And then at some point, they go back in the right direction. So I think it's really important for people to hear firsthand from somebody that says, listen, psychologically, this is what my emotions, my thoughts, my feelings, right?
Yeah. I definitely have some point where I remember going in the right direction. But in the wrong direction sense, I remember learning about just it. And then when I learn about stuff, I want to learn everything about it. So I just start looking up stuff because...
So you're researching at this point.
I'm researching,
You're digging.
Yeah, like I'm looking like...
Well, in that world...
How to use the correct pronouns, how to like all the... I could probably still... Like if you look up LGBT flags, there's like so many of them. I could still probably tell you what each and every one of them was and what it meant and how they differentiate them from each other. Like there's bisexual, there's pansexual. Now those are literally the same thing, but there is like a definition that these people... you know, use that, oh, that's different. So you can't say that about that person because that could offend them. So I was just like going in at it. I was like learning all this stuff, which is, it's all inherently useless, but I was learning it because I wanted to know everything about it. And so then that started introducing me to just all these different things. I'm like, oh, well, if you feel exactly this way and exactly this way, then maybe you have this identity. Maybe you're bi-gender. Maybe you're agender. Maybe you're non-binary. Maybe you're a demigirl. There are so many things.
Okay, so this is all stuff now at this point that you're discovering, but there's tutorials on it, and it is a slow
education
progression of education into a world. Okay, at this point, do you form new friendships online? Are you in chat rooms? And I'm going to ask you a tough question. Does it ever go into the route of content where there's explanations? Does it ever get sexual of nature in content, pornographic? Take me through that progression.
So I think the only chat room that I was on is this app called Amino.
Okay.
And I met some people on there, and the way that it worked is you could join. It kind of works like Discord.
Okay.
Discord, I'm sure you know, because Discord's like, there's servers, and so you can join servers that are attached to different certain subjects. And so I never joined anything that what I would consider super bad. It was really just like fantasy stuff where you would join and kind of like, it's called like role play, but there's like
role play,
but it's not like weird role play. It's just like you create characters and you interact in a world together. It was kind of cool, but there was definitely weird people on there. And I don't think that necessarily I was approached too extremely by people trying to like, you know, and be weird. And when I was, I just kind of like ignored it. Like I didn't. But there was definitely like friendships that were made that were of, you know, questionable nature. And so a lot of that Amino stuff led into Discord, which was another thing. There's a lot of people on Discord who are like adults who want to just talk to kids for no reason. And
I'd argue it's not for no reason, but
but for a reason.
It seems maybe at the time that what's the reason? But there's a reason.
There was like a lot of, this isn't necessarily directly related, but a lot of like, I just remember them being like, oh, I'm so sad. I want to like, and I would just be like 12 and I was just like, don't do that.
So kids, so kids would say on Discord, I'm so sad. I want to, you know.
Yeah. Like off myself.
Off myself. Yeah. Yeah. How old would you say?
Depends if they were, so I had a couple friends, like I knew one guy who I was friends with for like a really, really long time. Even up until now, I've still talked to him. And so he's just a person. But there's people who are like just very like suicidal. But also adults, like older people. Like now I'm closer to 20. But when I was 13, you know, I shouldn't have been talking to 20-year-olds who were like talking about all that stuff with me. Like they didn't need help from a 13-year-old.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Did it ever introduce you to the world of pornography? Was there pornography?
Yeah, I think the first time I ever got introduced to like animated porn was through somebody on Discord.
Yeah.
They sent it to me.
Was it hentai?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is the fastest growing form of porn consumption for Gen Z is hentai. It's also the number one research porn, which is anime, Japanese anime porn. And it's called hentai porn. So that's introduced to you through Discord. Would you say Discord was a darker place than Amino?
I think, yeah, just because I didn't extend that far into Amino and I kind of just like stayed where I was and just talked to the people that I met. But with Discord, I just joined like a bunch of servers like to try and make friends.
How old would you say the average guys you were talking to on Discord were?
I would hope like only like 16 to 20, 25. I don't really know.
But there were, but there were, old. But there were adults. Yeah. There were adults.
There were adults. There were adults engaging with kids. But you know, some of them were like, "Oh, don't text me unless you're 18." And I think a lot of, at least I sometimes lied about my age, but it was only like 1 year up. So when I was like 15 or when I was like 14, people say I'm like 15, but I don't, I didn't like to do it that often because usually you become friends with them and then you just tell them the truth anyways. A couple specific examples come to mind of like people who were older and were like, I was like, hey, I'm like too young. And they're like, oh, I don't care. Stuff like that.
Okay, so hentai porn is introduced to you via Discord. What does that do emotionally at this point? Are you questioning your own sexuality at this point?
Yeah, kind of, just a little bit. I think girls are pretty, so, but like that's normal. Girls think girls are pretty all the time, but they like took advantage of them. Like, oh, maybe you're gay. You know, so, I think maybe there was a very, very short time where I was on like the edge of being addicted to like hentai or porn. I never really liked porn. And so when my parents would ask me like, don't watch porn, I'd be like, oh, I don't like seeing actual people naked because I think it's weird and I don't want to see that.
And you considered actual porn with human bodies. You didn't consider, hey, the hentai porn classified as porn. Yeah. And that's a classical, you know, understanding and a big debate in our society. You know,
porn though.
It is porn.
Yeah. And so, you know, there was like a small time where I remembered that I may have been like kind of addicted to watching it. But then I was just like, and I stopped. But I'm.
Did it ever go outside of hentai? Did it go to.
Yeah, I've seen and watched actual porn as well, but it's just really not that good. It's really just feels gross to see. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because some people love watching it. So no, maybe,
it's a
not,
violation
maybe not everyone
of someone
feels
else's
way.
Privacy. It's a complete violation. And it should. And it does. And even those who are addicted, they are remorseful right after.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a disturbance to your spirit because mm-hmm. it's an invasion of someone's most intimate, most private space. And it's not normal. It's not right. So at this point now, your peer group, has changed. Did it?
Yeah. So I think a segue, and I'm not recommending this or saying this is like the right path. This is just what happened to me. This is just my story. So I started also hanging around people who were maybe like the bad kids who would like skip class or, you know, maybe do a couple substances here and there. And so what did help me start getting a perspective is those kids kind of just didn't take anything seriously. Everything was just a joke. School didn't matter. This didn't matter. They didn't care about anything. So I started maybe thinking like, okay, maybe the whole gay thing isn't really that serious. Like maybe I'm kind of doing the most here. I'm like, maybe I'm the weird one. And so that did kind of help me start seeing alternative points of view. I don't think that you need to go hang around those kinds of people to see those points of view. There's definitely better paths, but that's just what happened to me. And that's where I started getting a little more perspective.
And at this point, how old are you?
This is 10th grade, mostly.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she had still in California and then here, would only wear very baggy clothes. She didn't want to be feminine at all. Mm-hmm. She even at one point you even discussed a mastectomy, but she was very clear that she would wait to be 18 before she went through with that.
I just kind of liked being like, when I wore two sports bras, I just thought it looked like cool to be like flatter, which just was just a very brief thought in my mind, but I don't know if I would have gone through with it or not, just depending how far it went.
Did you ever discuss that idea online in a group, or did you research it?
Yeah, I think so. When you were talking about the YouTube videos, there was a couple channels that I saw where girls had transitioned into guys and they were like, this is just the best thing ever. Like, I'm so happy with myself and all that kind of stuff. So that was like, I was like, you know, but I didn't think that I was a boy, but I just wanted this, like, there's like a way that men are with each other, like the community and them, just like the easy friendship and the, that I just like admired and I wanted to be a part of, but there really just is never a way to be a part of that, like in the exact same way as just being a boy, because you can't just be a guy. It's just not possible.
Because if it's not authentic, it's not authentic.
It's not authentic.
And at some
exactly.
point, no matter what you do, you can pretend to be an NFL player and buy the jersey at the pro shop and then look the part and put the helmet on. And when we put you on the field, you go, I was not built for this.
Right.
I'm going to get killed here. Yeah. It's not, you know, and there's always a moment where reality reveals itself. Now, that's less dangerous when you pretend to be a football coach and playing on Fantasy League than when you start talking about surgeries and drugs and abuse.
Drugs are, the testosterone is... Sure, you know, but it's insanely, insanely easy to get. I never looked into it that much because I didn't want to be a boy. I just didn't want to be a girl. And I think...
You wanted a relationship.
I thought about this a lot more directly after, like right as I was coming out of it. Because I knew so many girls who call themselves non-binary and they use they-them pronouns. And I think it's because there's a lot of pressure on women right now. And there kind of always has been, but it's like when you use that, it's like a card. You're like, oh, well, you can't classify me that way because I'm not actually a woman, so you can't put me in that box. And so it was kind of like an escape for me because I felt maybe a little bit pressured and I was like searching for identity and I was just like, but I never like went to my parents and said, hey, use they, them pronouns for me. I never went that far because I wasn't sure, but I just was like experimenting with it.
How do you, looking back, Avery, okay, and we're going to get to, okay, and I know the audience is like, well, then what happened? I mean, what happened? We're going to get there.
Well, yeah.
But looking back into your emotional and psychological state and the vulnerabilities, because whether it's human trafficking, sex trafficking, whatever it is, the exploitation of people, it's exploitation of vulnerabilities. Mm. So when you know where a person is vulnerable, then you can manipulate a person for whatever reason. When you look back, what would you say your vulnerability was, really?
My parents It was my, I was not secure in the way that I looked. And I didn't think, I just was like, I'm not.
So self-image?
Yeah, self-image. Okay.
And what about relationships?
I never had like a desire to like, it wasn't like the person that was like, oh, I just want a boyfriend so bad. Like I never
friendships.
Yeah, friendship. I did want friends.
And was that a driver? Would you consider that was, and we call it community. Would you consider, I'm not trying to, you know, lead you here, but would you consider that the lack of community was a vulnerability for you?
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
Okay. And I want people to realize that because people think that it's always like some kid gets thrown in a van and snatched and taken somewhere or there's massive induced drugs right off the bat or it's not. It's subtle.
It's just they're your friends.
It's subtle. It's subtle and then it's progressive. Yeah.
And they're not going to, the same thing is that they're not going to come up to you with candy anymore and be like, oh, listen to me.
Yeah.
It's they're going to offer you emotional support and be your friend.
It is emotional support is the weapon of choice of the day.
It's the new candy.
Yeah. Yeah. Emotional support. And I think we have a society full of young people mm-hmm. who are vulnerable, body image, identity, peer groups, acceptance, emotional distress. And it's not hard to move them in any direction for that matter, not just the LGBT community, but mm-hmm. the radical hate community, the community that wants to see the country burn down. I mean, whatever that is.
And in her case, she went from the LGBTQ to the drug culture, who was also a very easily accepting community.
What was that? And when was that? 10th grade, 11th grade? When did 10th, drugs?
10th, 11th.
And what was the drug?
If you smoke weed, you're friends with everyone who smokes weed.
Yeah.
So I don't think that weed is good. I think it makes you also mentally vulnerable. And
what happened to you when you would smoke?
I would I was like hyper focused on like controlling my brain. It was weird. Like I kind of got competitive with weed. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, she's ADHD.
Yeah. Okay, so you would smoke weed and then you would
try and focus.
Have a battle to say I'm going to beat the weed.
Yeah.
You're fascinating. So you would smoke weed and then go I'm going to beat it. I'm going to stay focused and did you gamify it? Like did it become
it was like a game. So I would like do it with people and I would see if I could smoke like the very most out of everyone and still be like normal and fine. But I
love that drive and that mental
like
capacity
that
and that power. Well, you said earlier when you research you go all in.
And mm-hmm. the same thing with pot and yeah.
But I think that like weed isn't a good thing, but the path that it took me out of, I would prefer being a stoner for a year than like getting a vasectomy at 18. So I don't think that weed is like, weed itself didn't fix me, but it was getting out of the friend group of people that were like.
But I think that it's twice now that you've said that, right? You said, look, you were in the LGBT community and that moved you into the kind of the rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care about nothing. And that brought a different kind of a perspective. And then again, moving again, looking for love and belonging, looking for acceptance, looking for your people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you find yourself in the smoking section
mm-hmm.
of the crowd.
Right.
Right. And how long were you in the smoking section?
Like a year and a half.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Different group than the other two groups?
Mostly different. Yeah. I had a couple, like, because since I didn't have that many friends, you know, these groups aren't huge. I had a couple, like, close friends that weren't gay or anything, but they were, like, they like, smoked or whatever, or had started smoking.
How did you get out of smoking weed?
Basically, I left school and left society, and I was only with my ex-boyfriend for about a year and a like a year kind of it was over a year, but we would smoke, but then he stopped smoking, and in about around August of last year, I just decided that I wanted to basically get sober. And so I like weaned off of it pretty fast, like maybe once a month. And then I just completely stopped.
And was it always just weed? Nothing else?
It was a few other things, but it was never like cocaine or anything like that. Like
opioids?
No. Maybe like I have tried mushrooms before.
Okay. Well, that goes that.
They're like so close together. Ecstasy. Like,
so close with
ecstasy. You did
no,
or
no.
What was the thing?
That wasn't anything that I ever did.
But like, the mushroom world goes with the smoking world.
Yeah,
I mean they go together.
It's yeah, not like I was, because there's people that smoke weed and do mushrooms, and there's people who do lines and heroin and hard drugs. Like I never did any of that stuff. But
okay.
It was just like, oh, if you're smoking with your friends, like, oh, hey guys, I have like mushrooms, you want to try? I'm like, oh, okay. Like it was never, but it's same thing with mushrooms. So I got competitive with psychedelics. I was like, I'll be fine. Like I don't, it's not going to affect me. Cause I would see my friends go like not lose their minds, but they would just be like so weird and so crazy. And I'm just like, you're just freaking out for no reason. Like it's fine. So that was kind of like, and it would,
well,
it became something I was good at. Like I felt like I was good at it. So
yeah, well, you're probably just really mentally capable of being super focused and controlling your mind and hyper intelligent, which what an incredible skill to apply
to that.
But in life, if you apply it in life,
yeah.
That the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah. So it was hard because I didn't feel like I was good at anything. Or that I had anything that like differentiated me from anyone else.
Were there any hobbies at this point, art or sport or anything else that
I wanted to do, like art and stuff, and I kind of got back into art. But that's the thing, like that's what kind of pulled me into depression as well, is I didn't do anything with my life. Like I didn't have anything. I just would go to school, smoke weed, and be on the internet. And that's what a lot of people do. And then they're like, why am I depressed? It's like, when is the last time you had a full meal or like went to the gym or went outside or had a conversation with somebody? And there's things that cause the symptoms of depression without, like that you're just sad because your life has no purpose. And a lot of people also don't, not Christians or they don't believe in God, or they don't have anything that they believe in. So they're just like, there's literally no point in being
alive.
Look,
I say this all the time, whether you believe in God or not, God's word and God's promises stand true, and they manifest in the business sector. If you work hard and you're good at what you do, you know, if you're excellent, you'll stand before kings. That's not just for the Christian. That's just truth.
That's
anybody
happens.
That shows up and works hard and outworks the other guy is going to rise to the top. That's just a life principle, yeah. Right? Here's another one. A people without vision will perish. Mm-hmm. That's not just a Christian. And that's what I'm looking at, the culture that you're explaining.
Mm-hmm.
No vision, lack of purpose, mm-hmm. lack of identity will perish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. It's bad. I mean, and so where does this really turn? When did this really turn for you in like, okay, now we're moving in the right direction? What was that event or moment like?
I don't know if there was a huge, huge moment. But I do remember in February of 2023, I remember being on Instagram and like writing a caption about, I just like wrote captions on, I posted like pictures of my life or whatever, like little photo dumps, and I would be like, or like LOL, this and that. A lot of my worldviews changed this month, so that's going to be fun for people to deal with. I just remember writing that, and I don't remember exactly what happened that month that was like bigger, necessarily like a big event, but I mean I think there's like multiple sides to the internet. I think I started because like I have wonderful parents, I have people all around me who were trying to help me and influence me into the right direction, and my dad, he'd be like, listen, it's just important that you look at both sides. You know, if you want to look at this side, that's fine, but you should always try and hear things from
balance.
Both perspectives. Yeah.
Balance.
And I still totally believe in that. Like, that's so important. You need to get your information from multiple places. You need to fact check. You need to think for yourself. Don't just watch one podcast and be like, oh, that's the truth. Like, you should do, you think for yourself, because they don't want you to think for yourself, and it's most important that you, you know, get your information from more than one place. But I just remember I did start homeschooling also in the beginning of the year. I moved to Allen. I moved cities in Texas. So I switched to a different school and I left all the people that I knew.
So you went back to homeschooling?
Yeah, in the middle of 11th grade.
Of your junior year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this public school has 5,000 kids.
Yeah.
Plus.
Know it well.
So
it's a city.
It's a city.
It's arguably the largest high school in the country, maybe in the world. And the band is 800 plus members in the band, and it's insane.
And it's so sad. And it, she was imploding having that environment.
Because you're a number there.
You're a number.
Completely. Yeah.
And she hated it, and she stopped, and she was not going to classes and whatnot. And that's when her parents called me and said, "Would you consider homeschooling Avery?" Mm. She's imploding. She needs help, please, because they both have to work.
Yeah.
And I work at home. And so I prayed about it because I thought, can I do this? She's a junior in high school.
I don't think any of us want to relive science and math.
Ever.
All right, good night.
And so, you know, but it was clear, the Lord really clearly made, you know, said yes. And it has been the biggest joy ever. And one thing I said to them was, okay, I will, but I get to make up the curriculum, and we're going to study the Bible, and we're going to study real American history.
American history, yeah.
Right out of the gate. And we had fun Fridays. We had an episode of The Chosen every day as part of her curriculum.
I think that really helped. I think The Chosen was, like, thinking back on it. Like, I never stopped really considering myself a Christian, but I kind of just stopped telling people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't stop believing in God, because I think that, like, scientifically, so many things point to being a creator, and I was still convinced of that. I always thought evolution was stupid. I mean, there's, like, microevolution and stuff, but I didn't think that we all came from, like, a cell. So I did believe in God, but I think The Chosen, you know, the way that it's set up, and I was talking to someone about this the other day, it's just so well made, and it really, like, brings the story to life. There's a lot of, like, movies that have been made about, like, Christ's life and stuff, but it always feels like sometimes it's a little bit of a drag to get through, and it's, like, really just, like, if you're younger, it's just, like, not entertaining. But I would show The Chosen to, like, my peers. Like, I would, if I had the chance.
Because it humanized it,
yeah.
Christ, and it's the point. It's God who sent his son to become man in the flesh.
Yeah.
It humanized him.
It really helped.
It's relatable.
Yeah.
And so that really was part of what pulled you through.
Yeah.
So now you're homeschooling. Were you hesitant to homeschool again?
No, I wanted to. I really wanted to leave school.
Okay. Especially that school and that big an environment. Now, we're talking about a child here who goes from homeschool to 100 kids to arguably maybe one of the largest schools in the world.
Right.
In the world. And that must have been insane. It's a sea of people. Like, you're talking about wanting to find identity and purpose.
I have pictures. Literally, like, you can't even see in the individual children. Like, there's so many kids.
So it's like a river. It's of a color. River.
Yeah.
Of clothes. Yeah.
In that school at that time, you were there about a year, right?
Yeah, about a little bit.
In that school at that time, what group did you...
Nobody. I didn't have any friends at that school. Because...
So it wasn't the rebels, it wasn't the smokers, it wasn't LGBT.
She was hanging out with the friends that she had made in Plano. The druggies that she'd made in Plano. Still.
I mean...
Outside of school.
Okay. Just kind of. Like, I basically just hung out with my boyfriend, my ex, for like a year.
Was he from that high school?
No. He was a little bit older. I met him through a friend.
Okay.
But I was just kind of like either alone. Like, I met a couple people at that school. I have one friend that I met in, like, English class.
But isn't that crazy to think about, Avery?
There's so many kids.
And you're in a school of 5,000 children.
Uh-huh.
And you're talking about, I met a couple people.
Yeah.
Because there's no opportunities to meet people, really.
Isn't that
like,
so telling?
Wow. And it's hard. I mean, the school, like, they try to do, like, oh, like, go introduce yourself to someone. But, like, no one wants to talk to you. They all want to either be left alone or they're already hanging out with their friends. Like, they don't. Like, I did introduce myself to, like, one person or, like, a couple people. And I am still friends with one of those people. Because, you know, I just, they weren't talking to anyone. And I was just like, hi. But, like, it's so hard to make friends in a school that is that big. Because there's, like, I joined theater class. And I did make friends in theater class. And that's how you make friends, is you join groups. But, you know.
Okay, so you go from there back to homeschooling with grandma,
mm-hmm.
who's brilliant.
Yeah, and I went into it with an open mind. I don't know if I would have started homeschooling, like, right in the middle of, like, the midst of it, if I would have been as open. But what helped with homeschooling is learning about the stuff that I wasn't being taught. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of stuff with American history, for example, that it's like, why wasn't I taught this? Like, why, like, this is so important.
All of American history is left out.
Why? So basically it became clear that there was a motive. There was something that they were trying to do and stuff they were trying to keep from us.
A manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, cause she went from at about 15, one time she said to me, I'm so embarrassed to be an American. I can't wait to turn 18 and leave this country. That came out of her mouth. To saying America is exceptional.
It is amazing, but I can still say that there is something else now that I'm embarrassed about. Like, what's happening to this country is embarrassing, and, like,
right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You have come absolutely full circle to it. It is, and I'll say this, and I'm going to say it in a way, Avery, and you can use this. I firmly believe that if the founding fathers were to be revived by God and they were to be alive today and mm-hmm. standing in this country in 2024, mm-hmm. they would absolutely say this. What do you mean you went backwards?
Yeah, you went
backwards. What do you mean in 200 and almost 50 years you have destroyed and violated what we have built? We would have bet that you would have advanced the foundation we gave you. We're in a place where we are playing defense in this country to protect the foundation that was laid for us 250 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know what that's called in God's eyes?
Mm.
Bad stewardship. Terrible stewardship. That is the worker that buried his talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is horrifically terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the corruption factor and what is happening in school systems and the indoctrination of children and abortion and the things this nation mm-hmm. that is a phenomenal country, the most philanthropic country on earth in history, the most given, the most missionaries, the most,
you know, everything,
but also the most in child abuse, the most in child exploitation, the most in pornography. And it's like, it's almost like, let all ships rise, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, mm-hmm. and in the process erode what made it special.
Mm-hmm. Which what made it special was, and we were talking about this, the Oz Guinness coined the term the Golden Triangle, and we read it in the book called If You Can Keep It by Eric Metaxas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like basically—
Eric's a friend, great guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Great guy.
Basically the foundation of what the founders were able to build our Constitution on was that faith requires freedom, freedom requires faith, and faith requires virtue. Like, it's just all, like, everything requires each other. Like, you can't have faith, true faith, without being free. Because I want the freedom to be a Christian, but I think everyone deserves the freedom if you want to be an atheist, you can be an atheist. Like, if you want to be Islamic, Muslim, you know, everyone deserves the right to believe what they want to believe in. But the reason we were able to prosper as a nation in the beginning is because we were virtuous and we were of faith. And they want to strip that out, like, completely take it out of our schools, out of everything. And without, like, just virtue, without just the desire to be good, it just doesn't work.
You can't be free.
So we've come to a full circle from a girl that was pretty much alone in homeschool and went into a school and had no friends and then got sucked into a political agenda completely and by God's grace escaped it mm-hmm. without
any permanent harm.
Physical scars. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, there was battles to overcome. To come back and in the close of the show, give us a lesson on the history of the United States.
I went a little off topic there, but
no. But it shows that with the right support group, mm-hmm. strong leadership, guidance, mm-hmm. opportunity to gravitate towards God's doing, and let's just sprinkle in just a really cool grandma, right? We can help the younger generation. Yeah. There is hope.
Don't give up on them. Don't give up on your kids. And unfortunately, we have a world now where they're going to be taught about, gay sex in like kindergarten. So it might be an uncomfortable conversation to have with your kid, and you shouldn't have to tell your kid about all that. But now we do. We have to educate them. We have to prepare them for what they're going to encounter.
I'll say that, Avery, but I'll say this: there's a misconception that just because the other side wants to talk to a 5-year-old about sex, now the parents need to talk to a 5-year-old about sex. Absolutely not right. Yeah. The child's not ready for the sex conversation.
Yeah, don't.
So it's about
to be protected.
It's about sure. the right time, the right conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture tells us there's a time and a place for everything. And the right conversation at the wrong time is not good. It's like correction without love. That's just being mean, right? But I'm correcting. And love without correction is not good. That's not love, because the Lord says you correct if you love. And so it is the right conversation at the right time. I'm thankful.
Yeah,
I'm thankful that we have for all intents and purposes, a very young person here that has experienced a lot.
Yes.
And is living a healthy life to tell about it. And for you to say, don't give up on the children, I want that message to resonate and be echoed. Don't give up on Gen Z. We could say, well, we've lost the generation. No, we're fighting for that generation. Mm-hmm. We got to get them back because they're going to be parents.
Yeah. And then we have to fight for Gen Z so that they can fight for Gen Alpha and fight for their kids. And not every single person is gone. They just want you to think that so that mm-hmm. we give up. Like, they want it to seem like everyone's already left. And
question, a big question for you. Yeah. The love, the acceptance, right? Particularly in the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that you stop at T.
Because I think that... I was gonna say like maybe LGBTQ, but I just think that it's I don't respect how far it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even just LGB, like lesbian, gay, bisexual,
to what it was for decades.
And those people have always existed, and
now
I think
you have
that
AI plus.
They should have the right to do what they want.
It's the whole alphabet.
Yeah.
The plus
they should have the right to do what
spiritual,
they want.
Right? Spiritual.
With their life, even if we disagree with it, because
and constitutionally in this country, this is the whole argument. You have the right to decide that you're a dolphin tomorrow if you want to, and society cannot tell you that you can't. But you cannot change society.
Yeah.
To be dolphins.
To be dolphins. That because now your choices
mm-hmm.
and the very argument they're making is don't violate my right to choose.
Which is true.
It's true. I don't want to, but you're violating my right to not be like you.
Uh-huh.
And it's the hypocrisy and it's the lie and the deceit. And that's the whole situation.
That's the whole problem, yeah.
Okay, Avery, very brave of you to have this conversation. And I think you did it very eloquently without, I see no bitterness in you. And it's amazing to see that you have come to a place where, I think your future is bright, bright, bright. And I think your voice needs to be heard. And I encourage parents to listen to Avery and fight for particularly Gen Z. I see a change in Alpha a lot. They're very different. And so a lot of Gen Z are the kids of Xers, you know, and some of them are the kids of millennials.
Kind of.
But a lot of them are kids of Xers, mm-hmm. the millennials' children, Gen Zers, you know. But Alpha, I have incredible hope that they could undergird positive influence underneath Gen Z, and then let the boomers and the Xers and hopefully some millennials from the top say, hey, positive reinforcement for Gen Z, and hopefully Gen Z can get positive reinforcement from both ends and from within.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you are a Gen Zer, 12 through 25, you're 20 and so, or close, you know, going in on 18 or whatever it is. You know, thank you so much. I really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah,
it's a rich conversation. It's a challenging conversation, but one I think society has to grapple with to just say, okay, hold on. Simple question, like, why is American history not taught?
Yeah.
Like, and then there's no answer. Why do we have books sexualizing children in fifth grade?
Yeah.
Right?
No answer.
The why?
Why? Yeah, why are school librarians fighting to keep porn in their libraries?
The question to ask is why. Look, we have to ask what, and people know what, but the question is why. It's that, well, what's the motive here? To what end? To what purpose, right? Because it can never be good. Porn doesn't have a good ending anywhere.
Yeah.
Drugs do not have good endings. Suicide ideation, depression, these things that movement preys on and extends and exploits, the ending cannot be good.
Right.
Cannot be good. And so thankfully, you've had great support network, and I trust that this will echo in many people's lives to know that there is another way. And maybe slow down and just think about it again. Get maybe different counsel, different opinion. I love the fact that even if it's not the, hey, go to the we don't care about anything crowd, right? The rebels,
yeah.
But just don't get stuck
in one thing,
in a mindset, because it's like a vortex. It just, mm-hmm. it's a downward spiral. Get outside and get a different perspective just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ultimately when people do that,
they wake up.
Christ and God reveals himself.
Yeah, for sure. I think that people are like really chronically online and living in literally something that is not reality. And mm-hmm. I was just not in reality. And so all these things are like whirling around. But if you just go outside and like you're going to realize, like, just go into a city, just walk on the street. None of them care about if you identified this or that way. Like, they're just living their life. And you can live your life however you want. But you can't tell other people how to live their life. And I think that if you just, like, connect with other people and just have, like, genuine, you know, connections, go to the park, you know, like, you're going to just realize that all those things that they're saying matter so much online and on social media. It doesn't matter.
In real life. Yeah. It's a virtual reality.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fabricated, altered state of how to do life. And that's why so much is driven towards that. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was amazing. Amazing time.
Super thankful.
It was so great to get to talk to you. Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to you again next time. Blessings.